Yeah. It's that money, boy. Hey.
What is up, everybody? My name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Gambling Podcast Network. It is Friday night, May 8th, 2020. Joined tonight with Josh as we follow up on one of our more successful podcasts that we had when we talked about COVID-19 and how it's affecting sports and our plans and what we expected sports or how we expected sports to come back. Josh has been doing
really baseball because you're the baseball guy.
Definitely baseball. And it does seem with the news of the last couple days, it seems MLB is going to kind of be maybe that first league that opens up. And, you know, Josh, we talked about, you've been talking about the recession.
Right. From the beginning, I was talking about the recessions since last September. I think the first word I ever said when we started the podcast was recession.
No, it was weather. Recession.
It should be the mother. I said the mother of all recessions.
Exactly. And a big reason why is because obviously of the business sense that you bring not only to the podcast, but the business ideals that you have brought to our betting rule book or our betting insight and stuff like that. And that is the biggest thing that we share with you all when we are ready to bet. And when we were betting is we gave you the tools. We are 100% transparent. And not only that, we were pretty damn good too. You know, I remember college football or college basketball, well, college football too. And pretty much across the board, we were really good at everything. But
right,
we finished at like a 42-5 clip before March Madness was shut down. But, you know, it's
the last bet we made, which I'm very proud of this bet, was the Pac-12 tournament. Washington State as a 13-point dog, right? They had lost 5 games in a row, and they were playing a team that everybody says, you know, they were going to go. How far are they going to go in the tournament, this and that? And the PhD of the Philadelphia Eagles, I call him that because he's been making me about – we're going in fourth year of this man making me money with insight on the Philadelphia Eagles, right? And the way I knew this first report was very intelligent is that he is a cynical contrarian, right? And cynical contrarian – 100% always are smart and make a lot of money. He reminds me of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, who is a cynical contrarian and a brilliant legal mind, right? So right before the pandemic starts, we're on a ridiculous, right? At that point, it was like 40-5 run. And I had built up so much credibility with First Report that he's like, Washington State plus 14, that sounds crazy, but I'm just going to go with it. And obviously, Washington State wins outright, and that was the last – I think that was the last bet period that you can make on regular sports. I mean, people have been doing table tennis. People have opened up brokerage accounts. And really, you know, I got 2 master's degrees in business. I got securities licenses. And bottom line, the way we wager on a game is the same way we pick stocks, the same methodology, same decision science, same probability theory. On Tuesday, we're starting a podcast with a veteran of the financial services industry, and we want – to make it very, very clear to you that this is a serious educational podcast in a pandemic, that the goal is to put money in your pocket. We'll joke around, we'll have fun, and entertainment value is huge, right? Because not only are we putting money in your pocket, part of the value of it is that you're having fun and enjoying and laughing doing it. Instead of gripping on one game, whether one team wins or loses, you bet on 10 and you win 8 to 9 times, right? 52.5 is break even. We're at 70 to 80% consistently the last 12 years. So that means you make money in the margin. And we're a Warren Buffett podcast, right? And what does Warren Buffett say? Don't lose money. Okay, so that's what we've done. That's why I would encourage you to listen to the very first podcast, listen to every podcast, and you will have a better education, I think, than going to 90% of business schools out there. You know, it doesn't matter if you just graduated high school or you have a PhD, whoever you are going to learn something, but you're not just learning something. You're learning something that will lead to a transaction, a positive transaction in your bank account, and an extension with the relationships with your loved ones, right? You know, my wife used to say, well, I'll see you after the Super Bowl, right, in September with the prospects. You know what that was? Like, don't watch so much football. Let's go to, you know, let's watch a Lifetime movie instead of watching Sunday Night Football. We flipped that around and said, hey, I want to buy an expensive purse. I don't want to take it out of savings and I don't want to take it out of this. I'm taking it out of the betting account. Because the betting account money, especially when you're married by 17 years, it's the first to go, right? That's where she's buying the expensive stuff. Very fortunate and lucky that my wife has not bought any gasoline since 2011 without having it being from betting money. How much money is that? Who knows? But it's not just the money, right? Even though, you know, people who say money doesn't buy happiness, I say, well, maybe you don't know where to shop.
Yeah.
You know, happy to help you. But it isn't everything. I think it's probably 80 to 90% of everything, but it isn't everything. The other like 10 to 20% is happiness or entertainment value, you know? Wife saying, hey, I'm gonna watch this Lifetime movie. Go ahead and watch that game, at least the first half or whatever, because I want the expensive purse and shoes and I don't wanna see it come out of savings, brokerage account, savings account. Regular, no, I want it to come out of the betting money, man. So go ahead, watch that game. Don't be a degenerate, right? You know, in the spring, don't sit there trying to bet the Masters.
Don't bet preseason football. If you listen to
bet preseason football.
As I said earlier, if you bet spring training and NFL preseason, the number for that is 1-800-GAMBLER. They'll be more than happy to help you out. Because, you know, as much as we joke, you really do probably need probably some help if you do bet on those. But for everything else, we have you covered. And even if you are a degenerate gambler, listen to us because we're at least going to help you win. So everybody loves a winner.
Right. No, big time. Big time. Big time.
But, yeah, I think the big news, like I said, this is kind of the follow-up to – one of our more highly successful podcasts that me and you did was, I think we talked, it was either early April or late March when kind of just figuring out when.
In April is what we have.
Yeah. When sports were going to get back to normal. And, you know, I was the pessimist and you were the optimist. And the way it's looking, it's pretty much gone the way you said it was going to. I was worried about the availability of tests in terms of teams needing tests, but
right.
The public also needing tests and everything I've heard. I mean,
well, you're right on it because your concern was like, okay, how are Major League Baseball players going to get tests, right? And there already had been NBA players getting tests when nobody was getting tests at that point, mm-hmm. Mid-April. And we're sitting here May 8th, and all the podcasts, we want to make it where you can listen to it 2 to 3 years from now, and you learn from it because you're not worried about the outcome. You're noticing the whys. And then we're not full of crap, right? So many people gaslighting and lying, we're full of crap. So the way we prove that is by go ahead and listening to the previous podcast, right? Because that's our job. Our job is to predict things that you can monetize. So you were right on it, right? With the thought process, hey, there's not going to be enough tests for Major League Baseball players. And if they are, the PR is just going to be a nightmare that these baseball players are getting tests and regular people are not. And the way they solved it, I think it's two-tiered. And I want to hear your thoughts on this. Number one was that they volunteered for a study. And who got them to volunteer for this? Probably Fauci. And then Dr. Fauci or whatever his name is, he comes out of nowhere, right? Nobody even asked him, right? And he comes out, oh, I want to see baseball, right? And being the skeptical contrarians that we are, we're like, Dr. Fauci's not going to randomly out of nowhere start talking about baseball unless he knows something about something, right? Right?
Exactly. And, I mean, it's almost a lobby type mentality in terms of, you know, there was no NFL. They didn't bring up NBA. He didn't bring up hockey. He didn't bring March Madness. It was baseball, and it was a pretty aware, a statement that he was aware he was making, and I believe is calculated, like we talked about earlier, is probably somebody from Major League Baseball who had, you know, slipped maybe a 6-7 figure sum.
Oh, yeah.
Towards Mr. Fauci, and it's almost
he's the kind of guy who would take that 7 figures and put it towards his lab. You know what I mean? He probably doesn't need the money anymore. He's 86. You would hope. You never know.
But, you know, it's for me, I completely agree with that and the Fauci, and I think there was an agenda. I think there's an agenda pretty much behind everything that happens at a level of millionaires and stuff like that. But the overall, I guess, wave that we're going right now, I think is generally positive. Even, you know, with NBA camps or NBA, not camps, training facilities opening up, players needing to be tested. And stuff like that. It's obviously a good sign, and I think we are definitely moving in a direction that we will be getting back to betting here really, really soon.
Right. So we said it was going to be July 4th, right? And that's what it's looking like, right? So from what you have been reading, what's the time frame, you think?
So that is pretty much the time frame. I mean, for opening day, baseball. It's highly unlikely that this season spectators will be allowed in the stadiums.
No, we said that from the beginning. Highly unlikely there.
And what we can look at, the only real thing going on right now until the Bundesliga in Germany gets rolling, but it's the Korean Baseball League, and it's on ESPN at 2:30 in the morning if you're a baseball junkie like this. I actually prefer that style of baseball. If you listen to my baseball podcast, I hate the guys that strike out 3 out of 4 times and it's no big deal. It's whatever. Right. I'll home run that one time. I don't strike out. Korean baseball is different. Obviously, the talent isn't there. You know, the hardest pitch you'll see is about 92 miles an hour. But, you know, I tape it in the morning. I wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, get through the kind of weird broadcast that ESPN's putting together where they're not really calling the game, they're just having like chat hour, but you start to learn. And I've noticed, I think it was about halfway through the first game, I didn't go in with a betting mindset. For me at first, it was mainly just baseball. It's kind of like the crackhead mentality, like I just got high,
right?
And about halfway through I realized, hey, you know, there, when I was doing the podcast, there were 3 or 4 players that I talked about that made the jump from Korea, made the jump from Japan to the major leagues this year. So if you can, you know, get on board and watch these guys a little bit earlier, that's extra stuff, extra opportunity to get eyes on players, and an opportunity to bet. But the way it's going is June Middle of June will be spring training 2.0, if you will. It will, I believe they're saying maybe all Arizona. But when we do get rolling into baseball, the goal is, of course, July 1. But I feel like if it's July 1 is the opening day, you might as well just make it July 4th. Let's piggyback on that holiday. Let's really enjoy that. I think that will happen. And we will see a shortened schedule. We've also talked about they've talked about no cross-country road trips. I don't think the Padres are going to play the Mets. They'll probably maybe go to St. Louis, but in their maybe 140 games, it'll be a lot of Dodgers, a lot of Angels, probably pretty much the AL West, the NL West, and a couple NL Central teams. But I think this is going to be masks on for bench base coaches, as it's happening in Korea. The umpires are also wearing masks and gloves. The players are being tested every day. They are in controlled environments in the hotel. And I think that's a situation where baseball probably a month ago didn't want to open that way, but we are where we are. And I think the demand for baseball and the cry from the players, they want to get out there. They want to play. They literally want to play a ball. And there is one hurdle, I believe, that will hold, possibly could hold this up. And it's, you know, probably what is holding up a lot of things in this country, and it's money.
Right.
And the pay to the players, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the players agreed on if a season was going to happen, a shortened season, it would be on a prorated situation. So, you know, if you play 100 games as opposed to 162, Manny Machado is getting paid $22 million as opposed to $30 million, however that goes. Now MLB apparently wants to come back to the bargaining table and ask MLB or the players to take a pay cut. We're a year away from a CBA standoff. I don't think this is the...
Now, Dan, I mean, when you're talking about PR, right, because the reason we came up with July 4th was because we factored in, right, not just the business aspect of it, but the economics aspect of it. And we did not know as much about the health part of it that we do now. But that shows you how powerful the political and business interests are, that we were spot on when it's going to start, hell or high water, right? And that's the biggest thing right there, is what you're referring to is the CBA. Now, the Governor Newsom talked about talking to the Players Association as well about when this is going to start. And what you're saying, prorated salaries, prorated season, and then controlled environment. So I think that's very interesting that a standoff, right, would be horrible PR, right? Greedy players against the greedy owners times 100.
It would almost be like a mini lockout, because these guys aren't going to sign up to play until there's a pay structure in place. And we're getting – and I don't want to, you know, they have obviously time to do this. They can put situations in place to say, hey, by June – 1, we want everyone there, and then they can work for the next 20 days to try and get it figured out. And I think they will get it figured out eventually. But I will tell you, if it does turn into a big issue, like you said, that like this mini standoff could pretty much, I guess, be the camel or the straw that broke the camel's back, and pretty much blow up more than just baseball for because of Corona, but exacerbate the unions or the labor situation that has always.
I don't think they want to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs.
Yes, I agree.
And the fact they're talking to the governors, and Governor Newsom is getting involved, and Manfred's relationship with the White House and Dr. Fauci, you know, as much as we might not like him or what's going on with him, he is a level head, an experienced guy. You know what I mean? That he can help the players and the owners. And that's the other thing, too. Talk about the Supreme Court. Brett Kavanaugh is a big baseball fan, and he's getting his hands into it. So smart people like that are big baseball fans, I mean, not Bob Costas. I can't stand Bob Costas. Real people, okay? Real people like Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Fauci mitigating the situation, right? And I'll give you guys a quick rundown on pandemics. This is very important to baseball. You have contamination, right? You have mitigation. Let me bring out this chart. Shows my dad. I was doing the Spanish podcast, so if anybody needs a breakdown of COVID-19 in Spanish, because he's saying the Spanish channels weren't giving him all the information. He got more from us. Then we got some feedback from a lot of Hispanic people that I know, and they're mad at Univision and Telemundo for not telling him all this. So the Hispanic community is not getting all the information, but we're glad to help, and I'm going to do another Spanish one, giving more information. But these are the basics. You go from contamination to mitigation to contact tracing. So we're now at the contact tracing stage, right? And then number four is the treatment stage. And that's where, you know, that medicine, hydro, whatever, and Ranivir, all of this, once there's a real good one that everybody can agree on, we'll get to number four, because there's a lot of politics. Remember, business and politics gets into common sense, and they call it data and health. Yeah, you're right about data, health, and we need to make decisions that way. But let's get real, right? And that's one thing. When we talk about Greg Wolf, who'll be there on Tuesday, we are real on this podcast. We give you the real information as we know it. Are we 100%? No. But when we're not 100%, I want you guys to do your research and come back to us and give us feedback. But this is by the book, right? You go to mitigation. Mitigation was shelter in place. So we mitigated. Now we're at contact tracing. And we want to get to really good treatments, right? We kind of bat it down. And the last stage is vaccine. So really, what Brandon first and I first report are talking about is baseball in 3 and 4. I think we're in the middle of 3 and 4. What do you think?
I think we're definitely in 3. I think 4, I don't know, when it comes to the vaccine and the treatment and all that, it seems like every day something's either being said or being misconstrued. Who knows? There's, when it comes to that point, I think we're definitely into 3 and moving towards 4.
Yeah, vaccine. When you talk about a vaccine, and I'll do a COVID-19 A to Z vaccine, there's 109 vaccines out there, and they're in the clinical trial phase. So for a vaccine to be legit, it has to not kill or have adverse effects to 99 out of 100 people. If you're at 90, right? You can't have the vaccine. The FDA is not going to approve it because 10 out of 100 people are going to die or have really bad adverse effects. But if you have money, right? Money talks, BS walks. You can get your hands on that 90% one. And hey, right? What do you know? Like Trump said, and people didn't understand what he was saying. He was like, "What do you have to lose if you're already going to die? If you're in the last stages, right?" And basic, I'll get more in the A to Z. I'll get more into it, but. Two things kill you, right, with COVID-19. Inflammation, right, and respiratory issues, okay? Those are the two things that will kill you, right? And if you have underlying conditions, and you're almost going to have a heart attack anyways, you get some inflammation, you get some lung issues, you are done. So if you're about to die and you have money, you can get your hands on clinical trials that are at 90% right now. And there's some at 100, all right? 60% of the deaths are males, up to 60 to 70% are males. So there's a doctor in Boston who's injecting guys with estrogen right now, and he's 100%. So if you're about to die and you're a guy, boom, you get this guy from Boston, you fly him down and inject you with some estrogen with the right dosage, right? So you don't feminize yourself. And so that's the stage we're at, right? But there's a lot of money involved.
Well, and that's why
countries are involved.
We're talking about, you know, when we talk about the whole money and the vaccine, we're talking about probably, you know, what, 1%, probably even less than that of the population. So I think until there's something
else. Everybody's going to have to take the vaccine at some point.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be mandatory. I think it will
It's going to be like the flu shot.
Yeah, but the flu shot is a mandatory. Personally, I've never had a flu shot.
I've never had a flu shot either.
Yeah, I don't trust it, but, you know, it's everybody to them, to the, but the biggest thing is the vaccine, to the point where if you are somebody who is in that danger area, who has the preconditioned or the pre-diagnosed conditions, that's when you get those vaccine, and then you can go out and...
Vulnerable population, is it?
Yeah, and because we will need herd mentality. I think it's, we're not going to
start herd immunity
in the next lives. Like, it's
not herd mentality.
You know,
definitely don't need herd mentality.
No, herd immunity. Sorry,
herd immunity.
Sorry, herd immunity. Sorry. Woo.
Yeah, we're thinking herd mentality. People,
you knew what I meant, but
that's not an audience at all, right? No. People just listen to something and they go, "Oh, well, you know what?
Those are the toilet paper. Those are the toilet paper."
The old, when your mom said, hey, if that guy tells you to jump off the bridge, you're not going to do it, you know. But these people, the herd, will jump off that bridge, you know.
Gladly. But I think baseball has to be the leader in this, mainly because Korea is kind of has the benchmark. Obviously, a different situation. Korea is, what, the population a lot less than – the major leagues, and I mean, even there's 10 teams in Korea, and it's about a 4-hour ride between, you know, the northernmost and southernmost. Not obviously the case in the United States, but we're moving in the right direction. And I think once baseball gets going, they kind of will be the guinea pig. I think basketball, I think all of these sports, even with hockey, we can't expect them to go right back into the season. Think we're going to have a preseason 2.0, some sort of.
Well, I know that LeBron wants to keep the season going.
Well, yeah, of course he does. If it was the Lakers of last year where they were 25 right. games out, he'd be screaming about how he's afraid for his health. So
right,
that's LeBron. And you know what? That's cool. That's fine. You know, he's a great player. I think he's a little bummed out right now that, you know, The Last Dance is not about all about him. So I'm a LeBron fan, but, you know, it's getting a little ridiculous.
Some of the things getting
out there are like, come on, dude. Like, there's only like 3 episodes left. Like, you'll be done in 2 weeks, and then we'll go back to worshiping you again. Chill out. But I think him and – because he changed his tune.
Right.
From even before the stoppage, it was, I'm not playing in front of no fans. I'm not going to play games with no fans. And then it was, we got to worry about the health. Now it's, we just got to get rolling again. It's just.
Right.
I definitely, he's not the person. But we do hear about from, I believe, Steve Kerr. And I believe it was CJ McCollum. I could be wrong. And I don't know the exact quotes, but. Just kind of putting it out there like, hey, you know, we're worried. And I brought it up with you before we got on the telecast, and something that never dawned on me were, and I'm not this type of person, but there are those people in all walks of life, all sports, all professions, is the quote unquote germaphobes. Their anxiety are going to go through the
world. People have a bottle of bleach next to them.
Yeah. I mean, people are going to probably hurt themselves because they wash their hands too much, or they – You know, it's almost a negative type thing. They're going to drive their immune system so far down.
Right.
They're in this proverbial bubble. And that's the thing that doesn't dawn on me, because that's not the type of person I am personally. But just things like that, like, wow, there are going to be hurdles, and there are going to be things that people have to get over before they decide, now I have to go be an NBA baseball or an NBA basketball player, a professional athlete. They have to get through the germaphobe or the whatever.
Right. And along those lines, I'd like to ask you a question as a big-time baseball fan. Creatures of habit, man. Guys who don't step over the line as pitchers and managers. That's all. And I'm a creature of habit, really. I have the whole year planned out. I really do. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day, right? I was like, man, I missed – it's crazy, right? And it only cost me maybe $30, $10 each day to go to the Big West basketball tournament, because I think those are great athletes. They're competitive. Some guys are playing the last game in organized game in their life, official game, right? They're for Cal State Fullerton or for whatever, Riverside. You see Riverside. And those guys are playing the game of their life on a high level, right? And you're sitting there at courtside for $10. Whatever. The biggest client with the most money, I tell them, no, I'm at the Big West tournament, And bam, that was blown out. So for baseball, it has to be huge, right? Guys who plan out everything for the whole year.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Personally, I'm a huge Office fan, and there's a Michael Scott quote. He goes, "I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious." Baseball is the superstitious side. I mean, it's a baseball dugout, and I never played professional, but I got to high school, and even high school dugouts are weird places. There's always, in any situation, there's always kind of that one or two weird guy. Right. In baseball, there's one or two normal people. For the most part, they're all kind of weird, and it's not because, oh, they're all weird. It's just because that's what it takes to get through in baseball. You have to laugh at yourself. You have to, I mean, like I said, the best hitters in the world failed 70% of the time.
Right.
You have to be a little, but the superstition is definitely rampant in baseball. And that's definitely something that I think they're going to have to focus on. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, what are they going to have entrance musics now for people with no stand or nobody in the
field? No fans. Yeah.
You know, even Korea, they have cheerleaders on the side and they got an ask. Right. And I'm asking myself, what if I'm non-essential, they have to be non-essential. Like, come right. on.
The cheerleaders.
You know, come on. They're cheerleaders for nobody. There's nobody right. in the stands. But baseball is a weird dynamic. And I think a lot of what it is, I think it's going to affect the pitchers more than anything. It's that kind of backdrop. They kind of need that moving backdrop of the stands right behind you. You know, every time you look up right before you, you know, focus in on, you kind of see the pitchers just kind of glance over the stands. And it's almost like a therapeutic, like, brings you down to your target, and you're not going to have that now. And
well, one thing too that I like to ask you about is a lot of this, and a lot of people have been talking about Darwinism and survival of the fittest, teams that are more organized, because I'm here, right, in Southern California, and it's funny. I call it people that I feel are following me around, right, because I lived in Tampa for, you know, 20 years, and I've been back in Southern California the last 13 years. Mm. And you have the general manager of the Dodgers, who was the general manager of Tampa Bay. So I remember his career. Now I'm following his career. Now you got Joe Maddon. I've always been a Joe Maddon fan since he was the pitch coach for Mike Socha when the Angels won the World Series. Maybe he becomes the Rays, right? With Rocco Baldelli, who's now with the Minnesota Twins, and CC. He used to come to the restaurant. You want to talk about? Want to talk about superstitions, man? At home at 3 p.m., here comes CC coming in my restaurant. Carl Croft. Right on time, man, ordering the same stuff. Black beans and Cuban sandwich, which there's no such thing as a Cuban sandwich. It's just a marketing scheme. But my version of the Cuban sandwich, man, boom, every time, boom. Didn't talk, boom. And he wanted his coffee black. Bam, boom, everybody knew. So that team, they ended up in the World Series, right, and with that general manager. Now he's manager of the Indians. Smart guy. Everybody universally says he's a smart guy. So he's living in a trailer in Arizona. His exercise is he gets up in his bike and walks around, but then he's calling, like, Albert Pujols and saying, hey, you're in charge of the Hispanics. Here's a list. Call them and explain to them what COVID-19 is, blah, 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 give them the rundown. So I'm thinking, not every team's going to be like that. Some, just like the NFL, that's random. Every team's fan is different. Not every Major League Baseball team's going to be different. So it'd be interesting if the teams that are really organized like that are going to have a huge advantage over the guys that are just, because they are going to be that team that just shows up. But the team that just shows up might be just as good or better.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
Because there's no, analysis by paralysis or paralysis analysis, mm-hmm. overthinking. It'll be interesting.
There are guys that even, I mean, I remember when the whole Astros sign stealing scandal thing came out, before we knew it was literally banging on trash, a lot of people thought like, oh, it was just the guy at second base picking up the sign, picking up the sequence, which isn't illegal. If you can pick up the sequence, but personally, when I played baseball, I always told the guy at second, don't signal at me nothing. I don't want because I don't know for a fact. Now, obviously they were using cameras. They knew for a fact, using buzzers. They knew for a fact, but it is like paralysis by analysis, overthinking it. And baseball is one of those things. I mean, only up until recently did people really embrace the film, because Tony Gwynn in the mid-90s was the guy you doing film, and everybody was like, no. You're putting too much in your head, blah, blah, blah. And 10 years before that, it was people telling Jose Canseco, no, don't lift weights. You're a ball player, not an athlete. You're a ball player.
Right.
And so that's where we are now. And in terms of the more well-organized teams, in terms of now, it's definite. And I think the teams that embraced sabermetrics the analytics side of baseball early on are going to be in the better situation, because generally when you embrace that analytical side, you were already on top of the technological side. So you had the Zoom meeting, whatever, Dodger edition. You had the, hey, we're sending stuff out daily and checking up on who's, the diets and the exercises, right. And are the pitchers getting their stuff in? Are we watching videos, stuff like that? And the teams that, like, I hate to say it, but my San Diego Padres, who have pretty much, I mean, up until recently, they had one guy who was the analytics guy, and he was really just an analytics guy because he was the forefront of the
analytics. He conned everybody into thinking he was the analytics guy.
Yeah, and it was pretty much just a name thing. And
right.
That's I'm really worried about the Padres. And the Joe Maddon thing, too, is, for me, it's rare to see a player manager or a manager who is player friendly or is kind of a player first manager be as successful as he has. Wherever he's gone, he's won. I mean, at Anaheim, beating the Giants, that might have been one of the more impressive turnarounds. I mean, that Anaheim team really had no business really winning it. I don't think there was a lot of older, aging players and Fernando Rodriguez. But you also did have him go to Tampa Bay. When he went to Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay was without a doubt the walking 100-loss team. 4 years later, they're losing to the Phillies, but still, I mean, that was one of the more impressive performances managerial-wise I've ever seen. And then obviously with the Cubs, I think we all expected more, but we can't get mad.
He won the World Series. That's
exactly,
the thing.
Exactly. I mean, we can't get mad at Joe Maddon because, Wilson Contreras decides that, he wants to be a switch hitter and he can't do anything from either side.
And Epstein has a big ego too, right? So. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be one of the better managers adjusting to this, what's going on. He's got different things to get players engaged and stuff like that.
Right. Right. And when you look at the Padres, you look at Larry Rothschild. So you need someone because I actually have somebody that I know, a client who works for the San Luis Cardinals in the analytics department. But you won't take on football clients because football, from a mathematical perspective, analytics doesn't work. I mean, last team that tried it fully was Cleveland Browns, and they went 0-16. And, of course, they're going to try it again. So with that being said, baseball does work because it's the pitcher and the catcher, right? So in mass, the less variables you have and the less covariables ensures a result, right? So for COVID-19 is that you do not want people to get infected, okay?
Exactly. And that's, I think.
So that's mitigation, right? So that's mitigation because people talk about data, right? And I took 17 math classes in college and I took differential equations, which is the last math you could take at the university that the government allowed students at the University of South Florida to take. If you wanted to take above differential equations, you had to go to MIT. And if I went to MIT, they would immediately call security there.
MIT. No, they wouldn't call security. Maybe they'd just ask you where your broom is.
All right, so... that's why, you know, when you talk about data, 90% of the people you hear on NBC, CNN, all that stuff, they're either extremely dumbing it down to fit their agenda, or they're just flat out wrong. You know, when Brooke Baldwin or Trish Regan, any of these beautiful women start breaking down, man, they're just like extremely wrong. But to this point, it's another reason why baseball probably is going to be the first one. There are less variables in baseball. You got the pitcher and you got the catcher, and it's a round ball hitting a round bat. Okay, so the variables are very, very limited, and that's why you look at baseball coming back. And as far as analytics and Larry Rothschild, when somebody comes in with the analytics department and says, well, you're going to have to pitch – this guy in this situation, Larry Rothschild has enough clout, right? He's won so much that he can say, why don't you take what you just said and shove it up your ass? I'm going to do what I want to do, okay? Now, can Tyner, whatever that guy's name, do that? The manager? Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, he's the...
Maybe. He's friends with the GM, yeah.
Yeah, it's the ultimate... I don't know what the... It's not... What's the nepotism or it's nepotism through friend, whatever. But
right. Cronyism.
Thank you. Exactly.
Right.
It's. I don't quite know. Like I didn't like the hire. In terms of, we have a young team. I don't think we needed a young coach. But I'm gonna give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it's gonna work. But we don't know. Who knows? You know, you have the Rocco Baldellis of the world, and we kind of expected him to be a good manager from the start. But this Tingler guy is, honestly, I hate to say it, but the only positive thing that I've really heard that everyone's really is he speaks Spanish, which I guess.
Got it.
It was a big part of him and his, not just speaking of Spanish, but his, they call him Tingle.
Right.
Tingler, but his nickname's Tingle because he's such a the only time he's ever been a head man or a head coach or a manager was actually in Latin America. I don't remember. I want to say the Dominican, like Winter League, but I don't know. I know it was a Winter League in the Dominican. So he's very much that kind of he's the in with the Latin players, right, and that culture. And that's huge. I mean, the Padres have their two biggest players are obviously Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. And you also have Luis Patino and Andre Morahone who are coming up on the pitching side who are also Latin American and many others. I mean, it's such a Latin American sport, but that was a big reason why he got the job. So that will work in his favor, I do think, over this whole Corona break in terms of that.
Okay, so that, you know, that kind of makes sense. And it makes sense that from what you're saying, he's not even going to argue about the lineup card. The only one who's going to be arguing and backtalking would be a guy like Rothschild.
And they, I will give the Padres credit. I did not agree with them getting rid of Darren Balsley. I think Darren Balsley was probably one of the best pitching coaches ever. The amount of stats he got out of the talent of the guys that were there. I mean, you just look at the guys. Kirby Yates was nobody. He was literally on a waiver wire. Darren Balsley gets his hand on him, and he turns him into probably one of the best closers in baseball. And you could go down the list. I mean, Heath Bell, once he left the Padres, was just pretty much a fat slob. And when he was with the Padres, he was fat, but Darren Balsley taught him how to pitch. And I was critical of them getting rid of them, but of Darren Balsley, but the Padres surrounded Tingler with experienced other, you know, I guess help, if you will, the Larry Rothschild, hitting coach. I forget who it is off the top of the head. But even the pitching coach, or the, no, I'm sorry, the bench coach, his name is escaping me, but he was one of the more experienced bench coaches. So he has plenty of experience around him. So I will give the Padres credit for at least addressing that part. I just, I think the AJ Preller was just doing his buddy a solid, and we'll see.
Yeah, doing his buddy a solid. But the reason we talk about this is because when you pick a stock, you're also picking the management, right? You're picking the management of the company that you're investing your money in. And I think management is going to be a huge factor. And then the reaction of the players to management is going to be a huge factor in betting these games as they come back. Because and we have the article that a lot of people have been reading and a lot of people have been making money reading is the article on the top 10 rules of betting. And number two rule of betting is always do your research, all right? Always do your research. And First Report has gone through all Major League Baseball teams and given you a preview of who is going to win, who is going to lose, who is on each team, and what value they provide betting on these games, right? So, based on that, we are very prepared, right? And you don't start thinking about betting on these games July 4th. You don't just roll up on July 4th and start analyzing, seeing what games are you going to be betting on, right? You got to start right now. Well, you have to start where First Report started a month ago to be at the point we're at. And now we got all this knowledge going in. So has baseball said how they were going to do things? I think what they said they were going to do was going to have triple headers, right?
I heard double headers, triple headers. That I don't know how triple headers.
Because let's say, have they said, are they going to do they switched it up, right? Because first it was going to be 15 teams in Arizona and then 15 teams in Florida. Now they said that they're going to play it at everybody's home park without fans, and that they were going to divide the divisions by region to eliminate travel as much as possible.
So pretty much what I expected to actually happen this week, but it seems like it's going to get dragged out to next week, is Major League Baseball is going to put a plan together, pretty much with stating July or June would be spring training 2.0, July 1st/4th, opening day. And then there are a lot of things on the table in terms of, like you said, the doubleheaders, possible realignment. We talked a lot about no cross-country trips. So, like I said, Padres or West Coast teams, probably the furthest they'll go is maybe St. Louis, maybe Chicago. But you won't see the Padres play the Marlins or anything like that, or vice versa.
Yeah, I don't see based on, because now it makes sense to me, Gavin Newsom, right? Gavin Newsom, what sealed it for me that baseball's coming back July 4th was when Gavin Newsom said that he had been talking to the union, the players' union, right? So they're talking about the Giants, the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Angels. So that's four teams within California. And California has opened, and Orange County has opened, where you can now go into dine-in restaurants. You have to have a mask on, and you have to stay 6 feet away from each other. This is something I've been wanting to do on the live streams, and I haven't. something that I've noticed out there that people, because common sense isn't so common, and I've noticed a lot of people don't understand this, right? So, for those watching on the stream, if you're watching on Facebook, that's my friend's at 6 feet.
Yep.
All right, so that is 6 feet. So you have to stay 6 feet apart from each other. Even in the dugout, even though I don't think I've seen the Koreans do it.
The dugout is the only place that masks aren't enforced. They don't they're also not allowed to spit, which is, if you've ever played baseball, if you've ever been a baseball player, as long as I have, and I can't imagine.
Baseball's always about spitting.
No spitting is the hardest rule. If they clamp down on it, everyone's going to have to forfeit game. Like, it's going to be really hard to stop.
Right.
Obviously, they also say high fives are discouraged and stuff like that. It's going to be hard because you're just, it's muscle memory. Once you get out there, you know, you want to go out.
You forget about stuff, right?
Yeah,
and you know that the umpire is not going to call it unless it's some guy he has a grudge against.
There is no way. I mean, Joe West or Angel Hernandez just might do it just because no one's been paying attention.
Whoever he has a gripe with, Angel Hernandez will write it down on a book.
Yeah.
Right? And then when he does it in a crucial situation, it's like it's in the rule book. I saw you spitting. You know? Exactly.
But, you know, just little things like that. And baseball, I think.
Everybody's going to have gloves on. So that's where I was thinking about the superstition. Everybody's going to have
to. What's happening in Korea? You can't play if you have to play with plastic gloves, we can't play baseball.
Well, whatever glove, it just has to be a glove. I don't know if it has to be plastic or what. I doubt it'd be plastic.
Like you're talking about a mitt, like a catching mitt.
Everybody's going to, even in football, everybody's going to have a glove.
I can't imagine that a pitcher is going to. I don't believe that's because that's not happening in Korea. The umpires and trainers are wearing gloves, but pitchers aren't using gloves on their pitching hand. You
right,
can't.
Because you can get contaminated, and that's going to be interesting because the USTA.
But they're tested, though. That's why they're able to do this because they're.
Remember, South Korea has herd immunity, right? They're a smaller country. Everybody's been tested.
If they have to wear a glove of some sort, maybe in the other sports, I mean, think about in basketball. You think LeBron James is going to be able to shoot a basketball with gloves? I mean, I don't think
I played basketball. I don't think gloves in basketball, I don't think it's going to be a problem. I don't think it's going to be a problem in football. But the pitcher in baseball will be interesting. And I know all the fielders.
I've not heard gloves having to be on the hand for anybody.
Right. So the USTA for tennis. So the way they're going to have the U.S. Open and all that stuff, both tennis players are going to have gloves. And then the umpire and all the kids, everybody handling the ball has to have gloves because COVID-19 stays on the ball, on the surface of the ball, up to three days.
I just don't understand why. If we literally have to have Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer have a five-set U.S. Open final on gloves or wearing plastic gloves, let's just take the year off and get back to it next year. I'm sorry. Like, having to see Garrett Cole go through 7,000 pairs of gloves because he's trying to throw a curveball. I mean, it's just – if that's the case, we have to take the year off. I mean, gloves are like a deal breaker for me. You know?
For you.
For me, yeah. I mean,
it's a lot of money involved.
But what are we doing, though? I mean, but we're talking about – there's no way the pitchers are going to be down for it. There's no way the center fielders and defenders are going to be down for it.
Like the guy who pitched for the Dodgers, who's now in Minnesota, a guy like that, like he's going to figure out a way to throw a lot of junk out there with a glove or be able to make the ball move a certain way with a glove on. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I would be surprised to see that if that happens. I don't think that has to be something that I would expect to see.
Right, but because we're dealing with a virus and we don't know how long it stays on surfaces, and we're talking about transmitting, and part of the problem with COVID-19 is how much it spreads, right? So definitely gloves are going to be involved.
I'll tell you,
I don't know if the pitcher's going to have it, but obviously everybody else is going to have it. Obviously the catcher's going to have it, and then everybody else on the field is going to be wearing gloves. Your center fielder, third base, all those people.
I hate to be the negative Nancy, but if baseball is being played with everyone having to wear plastic gloves, I am not going to bet on that. That is not baseball. That is surgeons who have been allowed to take a half hour and they're going out and playing baseball and they forgot to take their gloves off.
Right, but that's part of the mitigation, right? That's part of...
We can't be... That's part of the... Isn't that why we keep these players in the hotels? I mean, we keep them, we test them daily. They've been tested all the way through this. If we keep them together, we shouldn't need to worry about whether or not the ball's been contaminated or not. Like I said, if these guys have to wear plastic gloves, no, I'm not. That's not a sport. It's not a sport, period. And we have to get past that. If we can't, as a society, live in a bubble for the rest of our lives. Eventually our immune systems are gonna have to fight back.
Right. But a lot of guys wear gloves now, right? People have batting gloves.
Well, yeah.
You have one glove on one hand.
I'm saying like
you have a glove on your throwing hand. The only difference is gonna be a glove on your throwing hand and then the pitcher.
See that can't work for me. I mean the shortstop, you know how hard it's gonna be to throw the ball? You know, I mean, even the minute the ball gets a little bit of dirt on it, you can't grab the ball. I don't think that's possible in baseball. I don't think basketball could do that. I mean, you see how much talcum powder LeBron puts on his hands. Now you're going to put on a plastic glove. I mean, LeBron runs the NBA.
Well, you could have different materials on the gloves. You just have to have a glove where you're not transmitting the disease.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it's going to happen because, right, money talks, BS walks.
Well, and we're not – then. Like
but I'll agree with you as far as there's going to be a lot of guys that think like you are and just going to take the year off. Also, when somebody gets hurt, they're out for the year. That's it. They're done because they're going to be around too many people, too many doctors, too many – nurses and stuff like that. Too many people that can transmit the disease.
But I mean,
gloves is definitely.
I still get back to the point. Like, we got to get out. We can't run from this virus from the rest of our lives. We have to accept the fact that if we haven't already, we're all going to get this virus, whether no matter how many gloves or masks or whatever we do. I mean, I feel like, you know, we're living in. Okay, get your bubbles, everybody. We're going to live in bubbles for the rest of our lives because no one wants to get corona. Like, it's
well, the problem is, too, with baseball and sports is going to be liability, like you said.
Definitely. I think that's a liability. I think waivers. Players are signing their shit over right now. When they sign up for that with the union, they're signing over. I think the liability comes down to fans. And I think that's what's going to keep the fans away. I don't think we're going to see fans in sporting events this calendar year.
No. Yeah, no, you're not going to see any fans in any games until there's a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Some people in Oxford are saying that they'll have a vaccine by fall. Trump is saying the beginning of the year. But we won't know the side effects, or we won't have a really good vaccine until 3 to 5 years from now. So the most we can hope for is herd immunity, right? So herd immunity, keeping people that have already been infected and have antibodies, keeping the infection from most people. But sports will go on, in my opinion, with gloves, right, and with no fans and high mitigation. So we're locked down, what I said, in mid-April for a July 4th opening of games, and I see it being like a marathon. I see like 5 or 6 games going on, but I guess it'll be because they're going to do it at their home ballparks,
I don't think you can do triple headers. Triple headers are not feasible.
Well, not in the same park. I think it'll be like the Rays and the Yankees in Tampa, the Phillies and the Marlins in Miami.
Oh, you mean like a triple header on TV?
On TV.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you meant like three games in one day for the major league team. No,
for us. So on our Twitter feed, we'll put the winners for the three games, right? So you would have, let's say, it'll be something like the Atlanta Braves and the Rays in Atlanta. The Marlins and an East Coast team in Miami. Then you would have the Yankees and the Mets. That's your three. And then you might have three West Coast teams. You have the Angels and Dodgers. Right, and then you would have the A's against Seattle. And we'll give you 3 out of 4 winners. 75%, 52.5% is break even. And you make money off the margin. And we'll be picking games, right, the same way you pick stocks.
Exactly. And especially now, like we, in this whole virus, you need to do as much research as possible.
Oh, big time. And I think research is going to be a big difference. Looking at the management, what's going on with the teams, the Hispanic players, the communication with the Hispanic player, have they been explained with COVID-19? Actually, we should pitch it to Major League Baseball teams, have all the Hispanic players listen to our COVID-19 in Spanish podcast, explaining COVID-19 from A to Z so they know what the heck's going on, right? Like my dad and other Hispanic people were saying that Telemundo and Univision was not explaining to them what's really going on with COVID-19. So we'll make sure to follow up with that and make sure that Murder in Georgia, you listen to the Matt Bird podcast, he explaining that. Well, I really had no idea what was going on, and I guess this kid got killed 2 months ago. I had no idea what was going on, and Matt Bird was able to explain it to, you know, and I think of Marty Bird from the Ozarks, but we got Matt Bird, and we got, on Tuesday, we got Greg Wolf, a giant in the finance world, and we're going to get, for the next 5 weeks until baseball starts, every Tuesday, we're going to give clear, because, you know, we are better than CNBC giving you the truth of what's going on with finances, right? With finance, with business. So this is a serious educational podcast. And for 5 weeks, we're going to give you an education into the business and finance world that you cannot get anywhere else in the world, right? And then from then, we're going to have our own line. We're going to have the Wolf line. We're going to have what the lines are, and we're going to give you winners. But we do not want you to take what we take as gospel. We want you to make your own picks and learn how to make your own picks, right? Even though we're successful and even though we have a higher percentage than what you can pay for, all right, we have a higher percentage than what you can pay for. They're suggested picks. The entertainment value in this process is huge, and we want you to have fun making your own picks. So what do you think? Close us out, first report. Did we miss anything?
I think we pretty much covered everything in terms of, you know, what the sports world is going to do, obviously. If you do get a chance, if you're a baseball fan, ESPN2, I think this weekend, it's usually around 2:30 in the afternoon, 2:30 in the morning. If you want to check those out, it's interesting. It's fun. It's a different brand of baseball. It's good. And then I know Bundesliga, the German soccer is going to be rolling. And I honestly think we're going to start to get rolling here pretty soon. MLB, I expect early on next week, we're going to see more of a, right now we have a rough draft of what we expect. I think next week we're literally going to see the first scheduled return. So that's something really not only to look forward to as a sports fan, but also someone like we've been keeping an eye on this. I remember the day that NCAA was shut down and all right. this happened. Me, you, and Raider Jim did a podcast, and to see how far we've come now, it's very interesting. But
it is very interesting, and people should listen to all those other podcasts. Are you so every week you're doing a major league podcast? So you'll be reporting on that next week. Is that correct? So
next Friday will be the MLB podcast, and then Sunday will be the dedicated to the Padre podcast. So we'll get back into the swing of things as we're done with the baseball team previews. Every single team is available on the website, so check that out. But yeah,
that's awesome. We'll have the financial podcast on Tuesdays. We'll have those two Major League Baseball podcasts as well. On Thursdays, we'll have the Matt Burke anti-corruption. People talk about social justice, but it's just going to be social education, social awareness. We want you guys to make your own decisions. We tell you what the research is and how to do the research, but we want you to come up with your own conclusions, right? We're not, like CNN with an agenda to the left or Fox with an agenda to the right. We want you to make your own decisions.
Exactly.
All right, so close us out with Winston Churchill.
Well, Josh, you were you're the lit major, and this is something I've taken to heart and really kind of the mantra of the podcast. But as Winston Churchill said, you make a living with what you do, but you make a life with what you share. Have a great day, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. Every single day, we got something dropping for you. So check out ecosystemsbusinessconcierge.com daily, our Twitter.
If you haven't heard of Anchor, it is free. It's a podcast that I use, and they really do a good job for us here at the GFSN Betting and Team Report podcast. It helps us make 70 to 80% of your bets. Now, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started, my brothers. I'm the best there is.